Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
But first, we go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline and bring in John Kosko of Pro Football Focus. How you doing, John?
I'm doing well, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Doing good. Before we get into the Ravens and they're the last team, our AFC North preview, you know, when the season comes back, you know, we're talking about kneeling here on the show earlier this last hour. What do you think are the league's stance will be since Roger Goodell came out and said that he believes that he should have supported the players? What do you think the league's, you know, stance will be across all different owners, all different races? And do you think that there's going to be a mandate for some teams to say you're still not allowed to kneel, or you think there's going to be a league-wide effort?
Well, I think it's going to be a league-wide effort that they're going to be allowed to do what they want to do. You know, I think it's obviously a big change for the NFL in that regard. So Roger Goodell saying what he said, you know, in support of these players, seems like he's going to side with the players and allowing them what to do. So I think teams are just going to follow along with that. And knowing the NFL and this, they're going to use it to some way to monetize, you know, it for them, for the owners and stuff like that. So I think they're going to try to figure out how to make money off of this, which is, you know, obviously not the way you want that to go, but just knowing how the NFL works, they'll never do something, you know, just for without trying to make money there. But they're gonna have players. I'm assuming they're gonna allow players to, you know, if players want to kneel, they're gonna be able to kneel and without any penalty to that. So I think that's what's gonna happen, and it's gonna be a league-wide thing.
Talking to John Kosko of Pro Football Focus on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Let's get into the Ravens, man. Let's get into, you know, looks like there's going to be some football going on. We've done the Bengals. We've done the Steelers last week. We're here to the Baltimore Ravens, and we're looking at it from a perspective of the Ravens being probably one of the cream of the crop when it comes to the division. And it also, they're going to be contenders in the AFC. When you look at what they're able to do and you look at Lamar Jackson, in regards to Lamar Jackson, what is your expectation level for Lamar this year? Because he made that step last year, obviously winning MVP. But what do you believe his progression could be? And where do you guys have him ranked going into the season as far as your Pro Football Focus numbers say?
Yeah, so Lamar obviously took a massive leap from his rookie year to his second year, and naturally because winning the MVP. And in his rookie year when he came and replaced Joe Flacco as a starter, he didn't actually grade all that well. Obviously, he was still dynamic with his legs, but he was missing a lot of throws and was, you know, a negatively graded thrower on a throw-for-throw play. But his ability to run was what, you know, obviously put life into that team and got him to the playoffs. And then obviously in the second year, you know, he did what he did and was one of the highest graded quarterbacks in the league and won the MVP. This year, I kind of expect him to take maybe a little bit of a step back because, you know, he was so good last year. It's hard to maintain that level of play. But he's, you know, we have him right now going into the season, our sixth ranked quarterback. And so, that is still, you know, one of the best quarterbacks in the league. So his ability to do everything, obviously, you know, scramble is and make plays with his legs is huge. But he's able to, you know, throw balls nice and accurately. He has a good feel for defenders and being able to throw his receivers away from coverage when he needs to. And he does a really good job operating that offense. So I expect him to still grade extremely well and, you know, be in contention in that top five category in the NFL in terms of quarterbacks. And, you know, a little bit of a step back. Teams are going to figure out what he's doing, you know. They have an entire offseason to figure out what the Ravens are doing and maybe some of his weaknesses and force him into that situation. So maybe early on there'll be some, you know, struggles after, you know, MVP, post-MVP struggles. But I would expect an athlete like him and then a player like him and his work ethic and that team also who can rally around him to, you know, just basically figure it out and bounce right back after maybe some early season struggles.
When you look at it from their key offseason moves, I really liked it just seems like the Steelers and the Ravens always get kids from Ohio, kids that we've seen play football a lot, play a lot of football here in this area. So when you're looking at it, you know, they draft J.K. Dobbins, which I think was crazy to me because I was already thinking that would be a good fit for them. J.K. Dobbins, Mark Ingram, that seems like a decent 1-2 punch in the backfield. What are your thoughts on J.K. Dobbins and where you guys had him coming out of college? And do you think he could potentially be the guy that gets the majority of carries there in Baltimore?
Well, you're right about the 1-2 punch and the fact that's, you know, it's pretty decent there. That's obviously you've got a former Heisman winner in Mark Ingram and J.K. Dobbins, who, you know, set records at Ohio State. That's no, you know, that's no small feat. So Dobbins is a great player, great vision. He obviously has the agility, can make players miss, and he doesn't have to be thrust into their day one as a starter, but he has that ability if he needs to. So, you know, I don't know if Ingram's going to get the lion's share of the carries or if Dobbins will or if they're going to have, you know, running back by committee, but whoever they're going to have back there is going to be a problem for opposing defenses because both guys are very talented and make you miss, and they run with a lot of anger and power, which, you know, obviously is punishing to defenses. So even with the smaller bodies that they have, they maximize what they have and are able to, you know, just, I mean, move the chains. So this is, you know, it's obviously a really good pick for them. Maybe, you know, from our perspective at PFF, we, you know, subscribe to not drafting running backs in the first or second round unless they're like, you know, maybe, you know, the supreme talents or whatever. But, you know, it's a perfect fit really for the Ravens. And I, you know, you can't really fault them for taking a guy like Dobbins who is, you know, that's going to fit that scheme and that team really, really well.
Talking to John Costco in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. When you look at this team and you know, the Ravens usually hang their hat on defense. They usually are always a strong defensive team. And where do you believe that they kind of rank in terms of the AFC North? Because, you know, some may think that they don't have those name players. We always think of Ray Lewis and Ed Reed and you know, Terrell Suggs and some of those guys who really are playmakers. It just seems like the Ravens continue to find guys, plug them in, and it works for them. What are your thoughts on the defense this year and where they kind of rank in the pecking order of the AFC North?
Yeah, their defense is interesting because the way they've kind of transformed it after that old school guys, you know, being Ed Reed and Terrell Suggs and Ray Lewis leaving, they've really rebuilt that secondary and they've built it, the defense as a whole, based around that secondary. They've got a Marcus Peters, a Jimmy Smith, Marlon Humphrey, Earl Thomas. All those guys are phenomenal players. And so you're not going to find weaknesses in that secondary. So when you have to attack this team, you have to attack it up the middle now, and you can't really, you're not going to be able to throw it around on this team because that secondary is so good. But then they went in his draft and got like a Patrick Queen, who is a phenomenal athlete and can close on plays underneath him and plays across the field. He can stick with tight ends and running backs, no problem. You can split them out. So he's a guy that he's got all this versatile pieces. So where their weaknesses actually is mostly at the front seven, because their linebackers, Patrick Queen, he's a rookie. Rookies struggle day one. Also Malik Hook, Harrison from Ohio State, they drafted as well. He's projected to be a starter there because they've lost their linebacker core. They did bring in Calais Campbell this offseason, which will help that interior defensive line. But then the rest of that, you know, that defensive line, you're looking at a Tyus Bowser, you know, Wolf, Judon. Those guys are solid players, but they're not this, the elite level that they've had in the past. So I still think because of that secondary, they're going to be one of the best defenses in the league, and they always are. And they are really good at manufacturing pressure. They were the heaviest blitz team in the NFL last year, and so they're going to do that again. You've got two guys in Harrison and Queen that you brought in that can do that and be versatile pieces in that regard. So they're going to be on paper from a front seven standpoint. It doesn't look like it's the Ravens of old, but this is a team that they, like you said, they plug and play these guys, and they can move them around, like, you know, and play chess with them and make them really effective. So they're going to be a top 10 unit again. I don't think they're going to be as good as the Steelers are this year because the Steelers are just, I think they're a step above in terms of their overall structure. But this secondary really takes them to into that top 10 level that potentially can get them into that top five level in the NFL.
You know, the Ravens have never traditionally had your top flight receivers. I remember, you know, Anquan Boldin here there for a long time. They've never really had that guy that was just like, okay, you know, Breshad Perriman, he was there, but it looks like he kind of found his way a little later during the year, later during his career, rather. So when you look at their game and you look at what the Ravens need to do to get to the next level, do you think that their passing game holds them back a little bit? Going back to that Titans game when they lose in the playoffs, is that kind of, you know, the blueprint to how you play, you know, Lamar Jackson and the Ravens? You just say, listen, if you want to beat us in the air, we're going to spy you, but we're going to do a lot of one-on-one coverage. And if you can beat us over the top, we'll shake your hand, but we need to shut down a run.
Yeah, absolutely. That Titans game is a great example because they were a front-running team all year long, and they were, you know, just three games all season long where they got behind and they lost all those games. That was obviously the Browns in Week 4, the Chiefs previous week where the Chiefs went up like by three scores, you know, in the second half, and then obviously the Titans, they couldn't come back from that. So you force them into a one-dimensional team of trying to throw it to catch back up, and it's tough for them right now. And I think that's where Lamar Jackson needs to take that next step. And part of it is, you know, the receivers that he had. You know, Marquise Brown was a rookie. He was really good as a rookie, but he's still a rookie. And then he, you know, got Snead on the other side, who's not a guy that you would expect to be, you know, to carry a team. You know, and also they got a Miles Boykin, who is a rookie as well. So they need those rookies to step up this year to be able to you know, provide more support for Lamar Jackson. Obviously, you got a Mark Andrews in as a tight end, who is one of the best tight ends in the NFL in a really short time. So he does have that as a security blanket for himself. But really, yeah, you're right. The wide receivers are that weak point, and they've never had that really, you know, that long-term, you know, standpoint guy, you know, that superstar wide receiver. They did have Steve Smith for a bit, but obviously he was mostly in the Panthers. But, you know, they need their wide receivers to step up. They addressed that in the draft this year. They got a couple of different guys, but really they didn't address it really high. Devin Duvernay out of Texas, solid player there. James Prochet out of SMU, but I felt like they needed to do more there, and they didn't really, I think they're relying on those guys to make a second year leap. I can see it out of Marquise Brown. It would be tough for Miles Boykin considering how poor his season was last year. So, but they clearly have the talent and the raw talent to make it happen. But that part of their game is what they need to make sure to step up and get them to that next level where they failed in the playoffs.
When you look at it, and I guess you want to, you know, bring this down to a few teams at the top, I believe the Ravens will make the playoffs this year. I'm not quite sure how they'll fare, and I'm not quite sure, and like we talked about before, it'll probably be all on Lamar Jackson. If Lamar Jackson comes in, takes another step, I really think that there'll be a team that's going to be have to be reckoned with just because of what he can do with his legs, what he can do. And if he takes a step with his arm, then you got problems. But when you look at it, and we always go to the, you know, talent angle, as far as the Ravens, where do you think they stand in the division as far as their overall talent, when it comes to their roster? And B, where do you think they are concerning coaching? I think Harbaugh is always a guy that can get the most out of his team. They're able to adapt to who the personnel is. What do you think they ranked as talent-wise? And then, you know, talking about what Harbaugh and how he's able to do what he does consistently.
Yeah, that's a very good point about the coaching, because on the team on paper doesn't have the raw talent of the Browns or maybe even the Steelers. They're right there close with the Steelers, but the coaching is what takes them to the next level and what makes them the best team in the league. And then also having currently the best quarterback in the division is basically what boosts them into the best team. So you've got a coaching staff and head coach and Jim Harbaugh. I never remember those, but and he does a fan, like he is one of the best in the NFL, and he does. He tailors his system to his players extremely well. And so that's what makes them the best team in this division, is because that coaching staff really takes them to the next level. So they're definitely going to make the playoffs this year, barring, you know, some catastrophic injuries. But they have enough talent, and then their coaching staff really takes them to, you know, places where a lot of teams can't get to because they utilize the QB run a lot more than a lot of teams. Obviously, when you have a talent like Lamar Jackson, you can do that. But they also utilize going for it on fourth downs, going for 2-point conversions at the proper times, and just overall their way they attack teams. They are relentlessly aggressive on offense and defense, and by scheme that distresses the opponents over and over and over, and never lets you. You know, rest for a second, and if you give up 1 inch, they'll take it and they'll go for it. And you saw that. I think a good example of that was the Seahawks game that they had last year, where it was a close battle, and they, you know, I think that was the game where they came off the sideline and Harbaugh was asked, "Do you want to go for it?" Or, like, you know, Lamar wanted to go for it, and he said, "Do you want to go for it? Let's go for it." They went for it, got it, scored a touchdown, essentially ran away with the game. Yeah, that's where they just didn't let up. A lot of teams, when they see that fourth down, they're like, oh, they can take a breath, but they don't let you do that. And, you know, they have the players to be able to do that. They have the coaching staff to be able to do that. And that's why they're the top of the AFC North, and they're going to be in the playoffs again. And really, if Lamar Jackson takes that step in the passing game, along with the receivers, you know, taking a second-year leap, they can be serious contenders against Kansas City for the best team in the AFC. And obviously, you know, make it to the Super Bowl. So they do a lot of really good things coaching wise to make this team that maybe not doesn't have the best on paper, but to get them the best team, you know, as a whole team.
John, appreciate it. Thank you so much for coming on, breaking it down, the Ravens and the AFC North preview. I appreciate you, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yes, my pleasure, Garrett. Have a good one.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.